Good afternoon. Welcome into another edition of The Scoop here on KLGR 1490 AM, FM 95.9, and also myklgr.com as well. A big day for Team USA in the Olympics yesterday over in South Korea. A couple of huge performances by the women's hockey team and also the curling team. So we'll talk about those here today. Plus, the Gophers get a much-needed win, although their season pretty much done at this point anyway. But still, just for the confidence boost needed to get a big win last night. Plus, the NBA's second half of the season kicks off with some games tonight. The Timberwolves, not one of those teams playing, but we'll still take a look at the key to the second half and how things stand with the standings as well. So plenty of that to get to here today as well. Just a lot to get to in general here on the show today. So why don't we, without any further ado, get right to it with our top sports headlines. Taking a look at our top sports headlines here for today, the women's hockey team for Team USA comes away with the gold medal after they stun Canada 3-2 in a shootout. The women able to keep things close and then finally come away with the win against Team Canada. A huge win for the girls. So congratulations to the United States women's hockey team for a huge moment in United States Olympic history, getting that win. And a lot of the players on the team are Minnesota natives, so a big shout out to them as well for coming away with the big win against Team Canada. That wasn't it yesterday, as the United States curling team, they came away with a big win against Canada, which will set them up in the gold medal game. So a couple of big performances on the Olympic stage yesterday, and very cool to see with the amount of work that they put in. It's no easy task, that's for sure, but we'll take a look at how those all came about yesterday. The Gopher men's basketball team, desperate for a win to get their confidence level back, they were taken on Iowa yesterday on senior night. Nate Mason made sure that the Gophers did not come away empty-handed, as the Gophers end up beating Iowa 86-82 despite a furious second half for the Hawkeyes. So for the Gophers, they get back to 500 with the win, currently now at 15-15. And the NBA, as mentioned, kicking off the second half of the season with a handful of games here this evening. Timberwolves not active until tomorrow night, but nonetheless a pivotal stretch for the Wolves as they try to make the playoffs and try to keep that playoff spot despite some recent struggles. And a bizarre ending to a strange situation for Tampa Bay Rays outfielder Corey Dickerson. He was traded to the Pittsburgh Pirates, a team whose own players have widely criticized them for not making enough moves to be competitive this offseason. They now acquire a very big bat that could certainly help them this season. And another one that we'll just add in that happened here within the last couple of minutes, according to Mike Berardino on Twitter, beat writer for the Twins for the Pioneer Press, announcing that the Twins have placed right-handed pitcher JT Chagua on waivers. This is a bit of a stunner because Chagua was expected to be one of the pitchers in the mix for a couple of bullpen spots. He was placed on waivers in an apparent attempt to outright him and clear a 40-man roster spot. Chagua, who is 27, made two outings, relief appearances in 2017 due to a stress reaction on the outside of his throwing elbow. This, as I have seen, is potentially meaning that the Twins are trying to create a roster spot for a free agent signing or for some other player in which they need to get put on the 40-man roster as soon as possible. So stay tuned. If the Twins do anything here today, we'll make sure to pass it along. But that's all we've got for now. And those are our top sports headlines here for today. When we come back, we'll talk about a big win for the Gophers, just needing some confidence, and they get that with a win against Iowa. That is coming up after this.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Your home for Redwood Valley Cardinal Athletics all season long. KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
Back here on The Scoop, if you would have told me that the Gopher men's basketball team would have allowed Iowa to score 63 points in the second half, I would have asked how much did they lose by. Not the case last night, as the Gophers snapped a 9-game losing streak. They end up winning 86-82. Gophers had the lead at the half, 31-19, and they were able to weather a furious Iowa comeback attempt. So for the Gophers, and especially on senior night, only fitting that Nate Mason is the one who is able to deliver the win. Mason finished the game with 33 points on 11 of 19 shooting, also 8 of 9 from the free throw line. So that was a much-needed clutch performance by Mason to get the Gophers into the win column. But with the amount of injuries that the Gophers have had to deal with this year, they ended up having to start Bakari Kanate. And he ended up in 20 minutes pulling down 10 rebounds, but also fouled out. Jordan Murphy had another double-double, 10 points, 10 rebounds. And for the Gophers, they also got Dupree McBrayer to chip in 16 points. So a chance for some of these younger players to get some much-needed experience with all these injuries that the Gophers have had to deal with. Amir Coffey not going to be back for the rest of the season, so that allows a chance to see some development a lot of these younger players. That was a little bit of a weakness heading into the season, the bench production for the Gophers. So now they'll get a chance to see if anybody could be a big part of the rotation for next year. I mentioned, though, snapping a 9-game losing streak, and the Gophers not going to be pulling off any big upsets in the NCAA tournament this year because, well, that record as it is not going to be enough for them to get in, even, let alone to be able to play in the tournament. But just looking at how the Big Ten standings sit currently, and you've got Michigan State, who's on top. They are currently 15-2 in conference play, 27-3 overall. So Michigan State having a very good season. You've also got the likes of Ohio State, who is surprising a lot of people. They're 14-3 in conference play and are 23-7 overall. I don't know if many people saw that coming from Ohio State this year. So you've seen some of these teams that we just come to expect to be at the top of the standings. Wisconsin has struggled this year. They are 6-10 in Big Ten play. So we've seen them struggle. Michigan is 12-5 in conference play, so they're still hanging around the top. But we're seeing this changing landscape in the Big Ten standings that you're not guaranteed to see the likes of Wisconsin at the top. I mean, Purdue was ranked in the top five for a good portion of the season. They're still having a good year, 24-5 overall. Nebraska's 21-9, Penn State 19-11. Then after that, you've got Indiana, who is 16-13 overall. So it's been just amazing to see how, regardless of who he's got for players, how Tom Izzo just continues to get it done with these Michigan State teams. Whether or not they'll be able to win the Big Ten tournament is a bit of a question mark. I could see Purdue giving them a tough run, Ohio State, and probably Michigan too. But other than that, I think those four teams will be competing for the Big Ten tournament and a chance to get into the NCAA tournament. As for the rest of the Big Ten, I mean, we're not at the bottom like Iowa is, but this is yet another season in which the Gophers have really struggled in Big Ten play. 4-13 this year, and Richard Pitino's career record as a head coach in the Big Ten has been under 500, which, and trying to find the article, saw it pop up earlier today. The Gophers have a big decision to make with head coach Richard Pitino. He is due for a new contract. And it'll be interesting to see if the Gophers decide that they want to keep Pitino as head coach, even considering all of these circumstances that he has had to deal with, the Reggie Lynch expulsion, not something that's even remotely his fault, but still a lot of injuries, a lot of inconsistent play in the Big Ten. So that's going to be a very fascinating offseason for Gopher men's basketball. They'll have a new look with a lot of new faces on the court, and they could have a new look. I would be surprised, though, if Pitino is not back to coach this team. But nonetheless, it's something that they're going to have to at least consider if they want to make a change or if they just decide that Patino is indeed their guy. So big win for the Gophers last night. We're not too far away from March Madness, which is great because I don't think there's a better time in all of sports than the NCAA tournament. So we're going to be able to just watch basketball pretty much nonstop. And those matchups in the NCAA tournament, always very compelling. And, I mean, you look at the top 25 right now, and things have changed from week to week quite a bit. Virginia currently the top team in the nation, followed by Michigan State, then Villanova, then Xavier, then Duke. Duke was top for a while. Gonzaga, Texas Tech, Kansas, Purdue, and North Carolina all round out the top 10. So I would say probably Virginia at this point. They're a team that has struggled in the NCAA tournament with their defensive style. So they could be, even though they're the number one right now, they could be a team that maybe makes a little noise, maybe doesn't. But that's, I think, the fun part of the NCAA tournament, is that you just don't know. Teams could show up one game, and then the next thing you know, they are done. They could lose in the first round. So the NCAA tournament is very close, and I have a feeling it's going to be yet another fun one here this season. So we'll see how things all shape up when we get there. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little Olympics. We've been doing updates most of the week, but haven't really talked about anything in particular. And with the success of the women's hockey team and also the men's curling team, we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back after this.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Missed today's episode of The Scoop? Find each and every episode on myklgr.com under the Sports tab.
Back here on The Scoop, a couple of huge wins for Team USA yesterday in the Olympics, starting off with the women's hockey team, who found themselves trailing 2-1 late in the game. They were able to force overtime and win in a shootout, 3-2. Team USA gets the gold medal over Team Canada in women's hockey. And just from all accounts, I didn't have a chance to watch it myself. That's the one thing about the time difference, is that the game was going on very late, so I didn't have a chance to watch it. But nonetheless, from all accounts, incredible performance by the women's team to be able to beat Canada, who was, I believe, the favorite going in. And Team USA able to get it done to pick up a gold medal. And that was not it. The men's curling team for Team USA also with a big win over Canada to advance to the gold medal game. And for the curling team, they had seen plenty of disappointment in past Olympics. Their best finish coming into this Winter Olympics was the bronze medal. So they had seen plenty of chances kind of get away, but not this year. They will at least get the silver medal after coming away with the win, as mentioned, against Team Canada. And, I mean, you look at the results for a lot of the events. Norway has just been dominating in the Winter Olympics. They've got 35 total medals, 10 ahead of Germany, who's in second place. And not only that, they've been leading in every category, gold, silver, and bronze. Team USA jumping into fourth place. They've got 24 total medals, 8 gold, 7 silver, 6 bronze. And looking at who has been the ones to take home the medals for the United States, Team USA has won gold in these events. Red Girard winning the men's slopestyle snowboarding got the gold. In the women's slopestyle, Jamie Anderson with the gold medal. Women's halfpipe went to Chloe Kim. Sean White, who has been a name at the Olympics for the past several Olympics, he was able to come away with a gold medal after a gruesome injury in one of the last Olympics he competed in. So Sean White came away with the gold medal there. Michaela Schifrin with the women's giant slalom gold in alpine skiing. And the women's team sprint freestyle, the gold medal going to Jessica Diggins and Keegan Randall. On the men's halfpipe, freestyle skiing going to David Wise. And as well, the women's ice hockey team beating Canada. So those have been the gold medals for Team USA in competition so far. And looking at how the rest of it has played out, silver medals going to, in the luge, Chris Mosder. Short track speed skating going to John Henry Kruger. In freestyle skiing, men's slopestyle, Nicholas Gepper gets the silver. The women's two-man competition in the bobsled, Lauren Gibbs and Elena Myers-Taylor get a silver medal there. Jamie Anderson with the women's big air, in silver medal in women's big air and snowboarding. Alex Ferreira in the men's halfpipe freestyle skiing. And Michaela Schifrin, a silver medal as well in the women's alpine combined, are the silver medals for the Team USA. Bronze medals, Ariel Gold in women's halfpipe. In the mixed team figure skating, Team USA got the bronze medal. Chris Knierim, Alex Shibutani, Adam Rippon, Muriel Nagasu, Nathan Chen, Brady Tennell, and Maya Shibutani, as well as Alexa Schema Knierim, all getting the bronze medal. A couple of bronzes as well in the women's halfpipe to Britta Sigourney. Mixed ice dance, Alex Shibutani and Maya Shibutani getting the bronze medal. Lindsey Vonn with the bronze medal in women's downhill. And the women's speed skating, Heather Bergsma, Carlin Schotens, Maya Mangello, and Brittany Bowe all picking up a bronze medal there. In terms of the women's ice hockey, the women finished 2-1 in pool play, and they were able to beat Finland in the preliminary Group A round by a score of 3-1. Then they beat the Olympic athletes of Russia 5-0, and ended up losing to Canada in the preliminary round 2-1. So the women got the final crack at Canada in the gold medal game. They beat Finland on the 19th 5-0 to advance to the gold medal game. And just looking at, there are a lot of Minnesota-born members of the women's hockey team. So very, very well represented were the women's ice hockey team by the state of Minnesota. But again, a lot of events in the Olympics and things finally starting to wind down. But still, Team USA doing a very good job in the Winter Olympics here this year. We are going to take another break. The NBA is getting underway here with some games tonight. So we'll take a look at where things stand with the Eastern and the Western Conference and some things to look out for in the second half of the season. That is coming up after this.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Miss today's episode of The Scoop? Find each and every episode on myklgr.com under the Sports tab.
Back here on The Scoop, the NBA getting set for the second half of the season. We talked at length yesterday about just how puzzling it's been that Andrew Wiggins has had his numbers drop as far as they have. But now just looking at where we stand here heading into the second half of the season. We'll start off in the Eastern Conference. Toronto is red hot and out in front. They are currently sitting at 41-16, 9-1 in their last 10 games. They've won 7 in a row. So Toronto just firing on all cylinders, and they are 2 games ahead of the Boston Celtics for the top spot in the East. The Celtics 40-19. They are 5-5, or were 5-5 in their last 10, having lost 3 games in a row. Cleveland is next, 34-22. They're 6.5 games out of first place. And 7-3 in their last 10. They won 4 in a row after all the big trades that they made to try to help out the roster. So Cleveland is lurking 6.5 back. Washington then is next, 33-24. They are 8 games out of first place. They've won 2 in a row and were also 7-3 in their last 10. So a lot of teams in the Eastern Conference playing relatively well. But a big question mark with the Wizards is will John Wall be able to help them when he comes back, and when will he be back after missing the last handful of games with a knee injury? That could be a huge boost for them if and when he is able to return healthy to the court. So that'll be something to watch for Washington. We'll kind of go through something to watch for each team after we go through the standings. Indiana 33-25. They are 7-3 in their last 10 and have won 3 games in a row. Milwaukee then 32-25. They're 9 games out of first place and 7-3 in their last 10 games, but lost 1 to head into the break. After that, it's the Philadelphia 76ers 30-25, 10 games out of first place. They've won 5 in a row and finished 6-4 in their last 10 games in the first half. After that, it is the Miami Heat, who are 30-28. They are 3-7, though, in their last 10 games, and they lost 2 in a row to finish out the break. So those are your playoff teams in the Eastern Conference as we currently sit. But look out for Detroit. They are 28-29, and they went 6-4 in their final 10 games of the first half to get to within just a game and a half of Miami for that eighth spot. Also in the mix, Charlotte, 24-33. They're a little bit more distantly behind, 17 games out of first, than the New York Knicks, 23-36. They're 19 games out of first place. Chicago Bulls at 20-37. They're 21 games out. The Brooklyn Nets, 19-40. They're 23 games out. The Orlando Magic, 23 games out at 18-39. And the Atlanta Hawks, who the Timberwolves lost to earlier this year, the Atlanta Hawks are 18-41. And at this point, they're just looking to see where they end up in the draft lottery. So for... Let's go with the eight teams currently in, and then we'll add Detroit to the mix as well. Just some things to watch for all of these teams as they try to make it into the playoffs. So we'll start off with the Raptors. And basically for Toronto, the question for them, they've had tremendous production from the likes of DeMar DeRozan, and they're getting good production from a lot of their veteran players as well. But in a playoff series, question for them is who's going to be the one to step up against the likes of Kyrie Irving or LeBron James, and who's going to be the one to hit the clutch shot? Will it be Kyle Lowry? Will it be DeMar DeRozan? They're going to have to answer that question because they will likely have to face one or both of those teams in order to get to the NBA Finals. So that's going to be a big question for them. I think they play a style that is certainly repeatable and successful. I mean, 24-4 at home. Another question for them would be, will they be able to win a big game on the road? Just 17-12. On the road so far this season, so those are going to be some questions that they have to really answer, and we should get some answers to those here to start off the second half. Now we'll go to Boston, and for Boston, they've got a lot of young, unproven players on that roster in the mix with Kyrie Irving. Will one of them be able to hit some clutch shots and score enough to complement Kyrie, because that's been one of their biggest issues here over the last few games, is that it seems like all their young players have just hit a wall. So somebody's going to have to step up big for them. Maybe Gordon Hayward will come back. I doubt it, though. I think it's pretty clear that he will not be back until next season. So somebody from that young nucleus is going to have to hit some big shots for them to win. And also another question for Boston to answer, which they certainly have most of the year, 19-8 on the road. Are they going to be able to get past LeBron James to get to the NBA Finals? And looks like they have the ability to win on the road, so they certainly could. If they can, as mentioned, get some production from some of those other guys that are in the mix. For the Cavaliers, and we're seeing the answer to it already with all those trades they made at the deadline, are they a better team now than they were before the deadline? I think that's a very definite yes. It looks like it's rejuvenated LeBron, and he is playing much better. And the Cavaliers are playing much better as well. They've won four in a row. But even with their roster as currently constructed, is it enough to beat Golden State? I would say no, but there's plenty of time for that to be turned around. I mean, LeBron on his best day can go toe-to-toe with anybody. So for Cleveland, their biggest question is, can they keep it going with this new group of players and finish strong and head into the playoffs, looking to pull off a big upset against one of those other top teams, whether it be Toronto or Boston. For the Wizards, when they get John Wall back, will it be enough for them to go on a run? Wall has been nursing a knee injury. So at this point for the Wizards, they just have to kind of bide their time until he gets back. And once he's back, will they be able to go on a run to get a little bit more solidified with their spot in the playoffs? For the Pacers, it's, again, more of a who-can-step-up type question. Currently 33-25. If they can get some stable production out of somebody in that lineup, then maybe they can make a little noise. But it's all going to come down to if they are able to go on the road for a playoff series. And at this point, it would likely be the Wizards. If they could win a series on the road, just 13-14 on the road, then that would go a long way for a very young Indiana team. For the Bucks, will they be able to get to the level that I think a lot of people expected them to be at the beginning of the season? We've seen them struggle just with consistency, and it seems like they'll win a few games in a row and then struggle with all that talent. Can they put it together? If they do, they're going to be a dangerous team, just like they were last year in the playoffs. Even though they didn't go very far. But with all that talent, they should be able to make some noise. So we'll see if they can do that here in these playoffs. For the Philadelphia 76ers, can they stay healthy? Joel Embiid is a huge question mark from an injury standpoint. If he can stay healthy, then the 76ers will be a big player in the playoffs. But if not, then they're going to likely be a first-round exit. So just trust the process for the Philadelphia 76ers. And for the Miami Heat, can Dwayne Wade, with his return to Miami, can he lead them to the playoffs? Currently in as the 8th seed. We'll see if that continues. With Dwayne Wade revitalized, going back to Miami to finish things out here this season. For Detroit, can they get outside shooting? They've got Blake Griffin. They've got Andre Drummond. Can they get some outside shooting to help those two? If they can, they will make the playoffs. If not, they'll be right where they're at right now, looking outside of the playoffs and watching once the playoffs get going here later on this season. So that's some keys for the Eastern Conference teams as they look towards the second half of the season. We'll save the Western half, the Western Conference keys. We've got Dan Slabaugh coming on tomorrow. So we'll talk a little bit about some of those with the Timberwolves, but then I'll go through keys for the Western Conference teams heading into the playoffs. For now, we'll take our final break, and we will come back with what's on deck for tonight. That's on the way after this.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM. And FM 95.9. KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9 is radio you can depend on for sports and play-by-play.
Let's take a look at what's on deck for tonight. NBA games on the schedule. Brooklyn at Charlotte at 6 o'clock Central Time tonight. New York Knicks at Orlando at 6 o'clock. Washington at Cleveland at 7. Philadelphia at Chicago at 7. Oklahoma City at Sacramento at 9 o'clock. And the LA Clippers at Golden State at 9:30. Over to the Big Ten men's basketball for tonight. Number 9, Purdue at Illinois at 6 o'clock Central Time. Wisconsin at Northwestern, also at 6 o'clock tonight. And to the NHL, the New York Islanders at Toronto, the Minnesota Wild at New Jersey tonight, Columbus at Philadelphia, all at 7 Eastern, the New York Rangers at Montreal, Tampa Bay at Ottawa, Buffalo at Detroit, Washington at Florida at 7:30 Eastern, San Jose at Nashville at 8 Eastern, Colorado at Edmonton at 9 Eastern, Calgary at Arizona at 9 Eastern as well, and Dallas at Los Angeles, that's at 10:30 Eastern tonight. That is a look at what's on deck. It is time once again for us to wrap it up. That does it for today's edition of The Scoop. We'll prime you and get you ready to roll for the second half of the season for the Timberwolves with Dan Slabaugh tomorrow, plus plenty of other things to recap the week on tomorrow's edition of The Scoop. Have a great rest of your afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow at 3:05 here on KLGR Redwood Falls.